This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to episode 220 of the Countdown Podcast. We are all some hairy perm-wearing motherfuckers in here today. My name is Wayne.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I've got my flares on and my whatever.
I've got
my V-necked shirt with my chest
hairy
hair.
Ass thing, yeah. Okay, her suit, yeah.
That's the one. My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast with Countdown Movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness, but not today, because today is all about a decade we have neglected, or at least Wayne has, for far too long.
Very, very long. The 70s, yo. We hit in the 70s. Best films of the 70s. And let me tell you, this won't go well for me. That's right. That's right.
Well.
Because so, I know of all the amazing films that everyone celebrates that happened in the 70s. Not a lot of them are on my list because they're not my favorite.
Sounds like someone's pandering. Already.
No, I'm telling you that it's going to go south.
Oh, you're saying like, let me off the hook because I'm being me, and I'm lovely and bald and you can rub my head.
That's right. No hairiness.
Whichever head you want.
Well, I'm just saying it'd be interesting. You know how it is. I know what you're going to do.
Do you do?
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
I can't believe you put this one off your list and here's some reasons why.
Well, yes. Yeah. But that said, there are some that people would consider to be absolute classics that aren't on my list either.
Okay. It's going to go like...
Because you've got to be true to yourself. I think that's what you're trying
to say.
That's it.
Yeah. And sadly, I often am.
So the whole decade, 70 to 79. I know there is a group of people out there who believe it should be 71 to 80. Stop it.
To be fair, 79 is more 70s than 80.
Yeah. I'm sorry. When it comes to that, I understand the whole 100 to 91, 90 to 81, which we're doing in my top 10 or top 100 favorite films of all time. I get that one. But here, 70s are 70s, damn it. And 80s are 80s.
Okay, we're in.
All right, good. So you had trouble with this list, or did you? Was it easy to find 10?
It was, but it was hard to place them because...
Yeah, I was agreeing.
Remember now, we were both born in 75.
Yep.
So, really, I didn't see any fucking movies of the 70s in the 70s. I saw them all in the 80s.
Yeah.
I don't recall seeing any, like, new release shit in the cinema at 5 years old, you know what I'm saying? So,
well,
like,
the first film I ever saw at the cinema was Empire Strikes Back.
Was it?
That's 80.
Really? I saw Empire at the drive-ins, and I believe I had not seen its predecessor. Because I was too young. Where would I get it? Maybe I knew about it, but I don't recall anything about the movie.
Which, now that I think about it, means I've totally failed my daughter.
Why?
Because the first film she saw at the cinema was Storks.
What's Storks?
It's a fucking animated film.
Oh, that's cool. She'll never remember it.
Yeah, she won't. I think she was 3 when we went to the movie. So compared to me being 5 or 5 and a half, probably 5 by the time Empire came out.
You know Buffy? Who you have some knowledge of.
Yeah.
This girl I know. Mm-hmm. Her first movie was Aliens.
That's cool.
She was like a
alien
kid.
Alien?
Sorry, Alien.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
She, as a kid, walked in with her parents, with her dad.
That's some bad parenting.
And they were like, yo, are you sure about this? He's like, yeah, she's fine. And then she says ever since then she's loved horror movies.
Oh, she's loved them. Okay, yeah. So it worked that way.
Yeah, it worked out that way for her. So there you are.
All right. So that's what we're doing. And we're not going to do the recount anymore at the start of the show, or at least today.
Yeah.
We're going to try something different. We're going to do
push it to the back.
All the feedback will be at the back. We can get straight into it then. Wayne, this is totally not your decade, and therefore you should lead away.
Word.
With your number 10.
Cool. No one's going to really necessarily know this film, even though lots of movie stars that are big now are in it. It is a show called... It's called Force 10 from Navarone.
Oh,
now,
yeah. Okay.
Do you know this one?
I do.
Okay. This is what happened with this one, folks.
Sequel to Guns
of Navarone, right? Which I didn't know at the time, and I only just realized as I put it on this list and researched it. This movie was on VHS.
At least you did research.
That's right. It was on VHS, and I had the VHS tape, and I was like, I guess I would have been like fucking 6 or 9 or something, right? And
9.
And so I watched it over and over. Now, this movie has Harrison Ford in it as a young, young man. It's really kind of cool to watch. Him, Robert Shaw, Franco Nero, Edward Fox, Barbara Bach, right? And it's basically a World War II sort of Dogs of War kind of thing where the two main characters from Guns of Navarone are back, but they're played by two different people. And
oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's what happened. I didn't know that till now because I just thought there were some crackers and two old guys. But get this, though. There is a precedent set in this movie. Harrison Ford is the tough guy, sort of leader of the army pack. And in the mission, they went into...
The squad.
Is it a squad? Is it a squad?
I like it better when you refer to it as the army
pack. Isn't that Well, I want your platoon and your army packs. Squad, yes, okay.
Squad, platoon, battalion. Depends how big the number of soldiers are, right?
Well, they go into the mission, and on the mission, they meet a token African-American soldier, right? And it's just it's very predatory. It's very predatory to the point where the guy they meet is actually Carl Weathers.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's in this movie, okay?
Dylan, you son of a bitch.
All right, so I think that's kind of cool. So, you know, I've always liked this show, and Harrison Ford is cool in it, and it ends in a very odd way, I will tell you that.
Go on, it's that old. Yeah, you're right.
They basically fail completely. They all die. Yeah. Well, actually, no. They manage to blow up a facility. But at the end of the movie, they're all like, yeah, they're on this mountain. And they're like, we did it. What's up? And then Edward Fox goes, may I remind everyone that we are now on the wrong side of a fucking border.
Oh, so they did what they had to do.
In 10 seconds, there'll be like Germans trying to kill us all. And we have no ammunition. And that's how it ends. They're like, oh, we're fucked. That's it. Yeah.
So we never got a Force 11 from Navarone.
No, no.
Or
and
Force
I believe
8, 3 or whatever's left.
They go back, yeah. Is it Force 10 means there's 10 people in it?
I don't know.
I thought it was just like an assignment number.
It could be. I have seen this movie in a long, long time ago.
Oh, no, dude. I don't. The cool bit is that Carl Weathers throws knives. It's kind of cool. That's about it.
So one of Wayne's top 10 films of the entire decade is because Carl Weathers is in it.
No, no. See, this is what you're doing. Putting logic all up in a bitch, right? No, I actually adore this film because I've seen it like tons of times and I still like it again now. I don't think you will.
I would happily sit down and watch this one.
No, it's cool. It's Harrison Ford, a young man, good looking man.
Yeah, he was. He was an absolute hound dog.
Dreamboat. Yeah. Dreamboat.
All right, my number 10 is one that I had the privilege of rewatching last year for the Movie Watching Challenge against Hendo from the Movie Journey podcast. I'm talking Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
I wondered if you would have this on here. Yeah. Please tell me what you like about the Holy Grail.
It's funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
Unlike films like Hall Pass, it's genuinely funny.
Fuck off! Oh, I liked Hall Pass way better than Monty Python. Paul burying his head in his hands and reaching for a soundboard button.
Hot damn!
And that's what you're going to go with. Okay.
Jeez. It was on my screen.
I know.
I'm sometimes hamstrung by having to switch between the screens. Yeah.
All right. Look,
Monty Python and the Holy Grail has so many quotable moments.
You know, absolutely. No doubt.
Basically, obviously a retelling of King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. Very, very loose. All the way through to when they are raided by the police. And
I know. So let's just take a point on that, okay? The gold moments are the sword fight with your arms off and that sort of shit,
no,
right?
No, it's not. It's just a flesh wound.
Yeah, and then like the insults from the top of the tower and that sort of shit, right? Oh, you've got him, of course.
You insignificant
cunt! That's not it, motherfucker!
Can't find it,
sorry. That's like a dick! I can't believe you pulled that shit! What a bitch! Okay.
Sometimes you have to work on the spot to get the laugh.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not worth it. So, okay, I forgot what I was going to say now, bitch.
I fart in your general direction.
Oh, right, yes. All of those were good, right? Yes, but then, and this is my problem with Monty Python. A lot of people are going to be pissed at me when I say this. I don't give a fuck. The Flying Circus, Monty Python and the Flying Circus, there's like one episode or one, it would amounting to about 10 minutes of good material. The rest of it is just insane, all right?
Oh, it's very out there.
I know. I know that's the style of it. But this thing where the police came in at the end, that fucking pissed me off in that movie. When I first saw it, I was like, what the fuck is this?
Up until then, it had been a rivetingly very at historically
least it
was, accurate.
No, but at least it was a comedy set in the time that it was in. It was all of a sudden, the cops came in. I was like, what the fuck is this? It sounds like you guys didn't actually have
it
time to write an ending.
At that point, yeah.
Yeah, but I think they're passing it off as we don't have any ideas left. It's like the cops come in and do that. Okay, that's
so
what
So if you like Monty Python and that's you like the Holy Grail, vote for Paul.
Campaign against me all you want. I just don't get it the same way people do. You know, I get
all
it.
Right, well, I knew it would be on the list. Let's move along to your number 9.
All right. My number 9, people, is this movie fucks with me even now, okay?
Ooh.
It's fucking Watership Down. All right, this fucking a harsh-ass movie, all right? And it's some shit you read in English Lit when you're in high school, but it's about bunnies, all right? And
bunnies!
Their whole society
bunnies,
it's like
bunnies.
This is a serious, grim tale that I find relentlessly fucking harsh. And it involves bunnies fucking each other up, man. And all kinds of like getting killed by dogs and shit. It's fucked up, but it's an animated feature. So you think it's going to be like the Smurfs, but it ain't, man. That's what happened to me. And then it's got like John Hurt is in it and a bunch of other people. But more than anything, the song Bright Eyes by Simon and Garfunkel, which they play over the fucking like trailer and in the movie. There it is, motherfucker! Can you jump to the chorus? Because it kills, man.
Thrill me.
There it is. There it is. That shit is making me cry well up now. Okay.
It's not.
It sort of is. In my head, it is. Right? I mean, this actually kind of, for me, kills, right? And I have its odd emotional reaction to this movie as a result. So there you are.
Yeah,
I think it confused me because it's supposed to be a fun cartoon and then motherfuckers get fucked up. Shit. It taught me that the world was real.
Yeah, well, certainly they made different animated films in the 70s. Let's put it that way. You get some weird animated stuff in the, like, obviously from Japan. And
that's anime, different. That's manga. I know shit's fucked up.
And, on, and like on Netflix and whatever else. But to go to the cinema in 1970, what year?
78. And I obviously saw it when I was like 5 at least, because it was like, I was still impressionable and I wouldn't have been, you know, 3 years old in a damn cinema. So, or even owning it. So yeah, that's what works for this. It's like, it's harsh, but I love it for some reason. It's big.
All right. A little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
But not a total shock.
It jumped on my shit. I was like, oh shit, I remember this.
I think one of the listeners did mention it as well. So I
really?
Did ping on my radar. Oh, I wonder if Wayne will pick that one. And then we have our answer. Now, my number 9 is a film which I expect to be on your list as well, Wayne.
Word.
It is The Sting from 1973.
Oh my God. Yes, it is. And I didn't think you'd think it would be on my list. Well, whatever.
Another film from the movie watching challenge last year. It's like, okay, I got to work my way through the IMDb top 250.
Oh, yeah.
One of those where I was very glad I did. Robert Redford,
this
Paul
great,
Newman.
This fucking movie.
Paul Newman in this film is a hot, hot man.
He's always been a handsome devil. And even now with his craggy ass face.
Well, not so much now.
I'd still hit it. So it's
he's been dead for many years.
Paul Newman, or did you say Robert Redford?
I said Paul Newman.
Oh, sorry. Paul Newman, yeah, but he was always cool. That motherfucker grew old by racing cars, turning gray, and being gruff. You know that's cool as shit, yeah. Right?
Then this film, Look, it requires a lot of suspension of disbelief. Let's be clear here.
It's a 70s movie.
But it's an early pioneer of the kind of big heist type stuff.
Totally.
And it doesn't really work when you think about it at all. But in terms of the journey it takes you on, and it being period set, and Robert Shaw is, you know, the big bad guy and the like.
Yes.
Good fun.
It's
really good fun.
This is like the Lord of the Rings of heist. Like, all of this shit started like this. Like the whole, the crew.
Yep.
And this was the most, what was
with
good
the title
was the,
cards.
Yes.
Directed by George Roy Hill and obviously putting a bit of style in there
totally.
In this particular way.
That's why it was cool. And you know what? This is pure charisma. This movie runs on charisma. Yep. Those two leads are just killing it over and over and over. And this is, you know, they'd come off like Butch Cassidy and shit like that. So this is, probably one of the finest in terms of its ingenuity con artist films ever made.
As my dad would say, good escapist nonsense.
Yeah, but well
done
crafted.
Really well.
Yeah,
and
well
crafted. I think it won the Academy Award in 1973 too, without having not done my research.
I don't know whether it has either, but it wouldn't surprise me. Actually, I saw this with my dad because he said this is a good movie. And I went, really? What about this? And then I was like, I agreed. I was sitting there going, yeah, this is actually surprisingly good.
Isn't it nice when you find something with your parents that you can,
yeah,
all
you can agree on
that,
exactly
that it you know surpasses that generation gap or bridges it, I think is probably the way to put it.
And I remember wanting to like it because, you know, your dad said it was good, so yeah, that helped.
Yep. It won for best picture, best director, best original screenplay for David S. Ward, best costume design, best film editing, best art direction, set direction, best music original score/song. Of course, that very famous bit of music, which I'm pretty sure will go out on now.
The player the entertainer
whatever it's called. Yeah. So there you go.
Nice. Okay, well, my number 8 is going to surprise the hell out of you, Paul. But then later on, when you think about it, you'll be like, oh, that's right. He's a bitch. The movie is a Dustin Hoffman and Meryl Streep movie called Kramer versus Kramer. It's not about Michael Richards. It's this...
what the fuck? Oh, yeah. Michael Richards v. Michael Richards
that's
is
right.
Kramer versus Kramer.
No, whatever. Anyway.
1990s. Waiters missed the brief. Again!
It's not, motherfucker. Now, check it out. 1979. So this is just scraping in there, okay? But this movie is about basically a divorce. Dustin Hoffman and Meryl Streep get divorced. They've got a kid. The divorce subject isn't shocking, but like the film is this thoughtful, well-acted drama, and it resists the urge, even back then, to take sides or give you answers. You actually see it from both parents' point of view. And remember, I'm watching this at the age of motherfucking 7. Right? Or whatever, right?
Really? And you enjoyed it?
Yes, because it's really dramatic. The kid falls off a swing. He has to pick up and run him to the hospital. What?
Did you watch it again? Have you seen it since?
Fuck no. Oh, hang on. Sorry. I think I've encountered it once in the time since.
Okay.
But not recently, no.
Right.
But it is actually, again, I, for some reason, understood sort of divorce a bit at the age of 7 or 8 or whenever I watched it, because I was sitting there going, oh, so it's really complex being an adult. Like, it was just kind of cool for me. So, yeah, Kramer vs. Kramer. I think it's an excellent drama.
That's a deep thought for a young, young boy.
Very. I tell you, I'm an emotional bitch. So
what happened?
What happened? Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I shrugged it off.
I got back to basics.
Exactly.
Eventually, I found you calling.
You know me. I see a pair of thick, weighty breasts, and all logic flies out the window.
Well, ironically, I think that's the very reason that divorce happens.
Multiple levels of appropriate. There you are. There. All right, my number 8 is a film which... no, it's definitely not going to be anyone's list. In fact, only one listener weighed in with this one. I was so relieved it wasn't just me. I like this movie. I like it a lot. It is one of the first disaster films, which, you know, we like a bit of disaster porn around these parts. I'm talking about 1972's Ronald Nemi directed The Poseidon Adventure.
Really?
Yeah, starring Gene Hackman as a priest.
Wow. I can't remember a thing about this movie. I know it's a classic.
Fucking awesome.
The Towering Inferno, that was done in...
I think that was after this.
After this, wasn't it? Yeah.
But don't quote me on that, because I don't know if I've ever seen The Towering Inferno.
I remember.
That's a whole of my filmography I should film.
No, it's good.
This one is boat capsizes, effectively turns over in the water, and they are stuck at the bottom of the boat and have to climb their way out as the boat is flooding.
Is it a ship?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, when I say boat, I mean like this big ocean liner cruise ship.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Thing. Oh, yeah, yes, yes.
Shelley Winters is in it, and... Yeah, a bunch of other people who look vaguely familiar type thing.
Yeah, yeah. I remember this.
Ernest Borgnine, Red Buttons, Roddy McDowell. How can I forget Roddy McDowell?
Roddy.
Leslie Nielsen is the captain of the ship.
That I did not know. Wow. Okay, shit.
And it's just this group of 9 or 10 of them start to climb out, and we lose one or two along the way here and there as they come to certain obstacles and have to go really fast or fall into... to burning fuel.
Did it look expensive? Like,
look, for a 1972 film, I think it did a really, really good job.
Yeah. I wondered how that like all goes.
Never seen it in high def. I've only ever seen it on TV like 4 or 5 times. I find it really entertaining.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I just find that kind of genre of film, disaster film, pretty entertaining.
Sure.
As long as they're well done. Like, I'm even apologetic about 2012, if that puts it in any context,
really?
Context for you. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah,
surprising.
And number 8, The Poseidon Adventure.
Very fun.
You should adventure with Poseidon.
Excellent.
Clearly one of the finest moments in 270 episodes of the countdown.
Okay, well, check it out. I'm going to bring it back right here, okay? My number 7 is Grease. Fuck it. It's Grease.
Oh, no.
I fucking love Grease, all right? Oh. I don't give a fuck about you and your 1989 school socials where everyone played the Grease Megamix and motherfucking, like, all kinds of nasty shit happened, like, and stuff. I love Grease.
This is terrible.
Fucking suck my dick,
this
man.
This is one of the worst
Let
fucking
me tell
choices
you some
ever
shit
made
right here, bitch.
In the history
Kiss
of the
my
show.
Entire ass, all right? Grease was... Fine back. Grease was ahead of its time, man. When I saw that shit, and by the way, I never knew it was a musical like stage show that they put into a movie. All I remember is John Travolta's fucking 17. He's tapping that Olivia Newton-John 29-year-old ass, right?
And he wasn't 17 when they made this movie. She was 29.
No, he was fucking young, man.
He might have been younger than her. He wasn't 12 years younger than her.
I reckon he was 12 years younger than her.
Bullshit.
Hold up, motherfucker.
Bullshit. Oh, I'll let Arnold answer.
Bullshit.
There we go. Arnold agrees.
Hang on, slut.
In fact.
Take it back!
Okay, he was 23.
And how old
but
was
she? But she was 33. So 10 years. That's
all
not
right,
bad.
All right. Wow, she was 33.
Yeah, man. No, I know, right? Because she looks like a kid.
I think we did this somewhere along the line where it was inappropriate age gaps and whatever in actors and whatever.
That's good. Sounds like a countdown.
Well, we did it. Yeah.
So that could be any Hollywood movie in the 90s, basically.
But usually it's the other way around.
You're right.
The guy's
actually,
way
that's
older
not
than
bad.
The,
Yeah. That's what I mean. So, okay.
Okay, 23, 33. Fair enough. All right. That is bigger than I thought. I would have thought of 5 or 6 years.
Yes. But, like, that's not the reason why I'm putting this shit down here, right? Grease itself was laugh out loud funny.
Although, what do you know, Wayne?
I was wondering if you were going to make that motherfucking little fucking observation.
In the kitchen.
I still love the music and the coolness of Grease. You know that Grease lightning thing? And they put the.
Still trying to forget it.
It's great, man. It's fucking great.
One of the worst choices you ever made.
They called each other skids in this movie, right?
Oh, so good.
No, but I gagged at that when I was sitting there going, what the fuck? Because I'd only just learned the term back. And when I saw it, it was like the 90s, man. I was like, wait, back whenever they shot this movie, they're using skids? Hilarious. I thought it was good shit. This is good shit.
I watched this film. Long-term listeners of the show.
You would fucking hate. You know
what? Be familiar with this. I watched this film as like an 11-year-old at my new best mate's house across the road.
Yeah.
Steve, who grew up with.
I remember.
Steve's parents. Ooh, hang on. Steve's son listens to this podcast. Tell that story another time.
Okay.
Let's just put it this way. They put it on. I watched it. Steve's dad sat there watching with us. And when the grease lightning bit happened, they started singing and they raced the car. He's like, best bit of the movie. And I was like, you're fucking shitting me. I don't recall being more horrified as a child in my entire life. I didn't say fucking shitting me because that would have fucking smacked around the back of the head.
Yeah.
But I do remember looking at him going, no, please no.
Nah, I agree with him. I'm pretty much there. And you know what? Okay, there's the one worst part of this movie is the very end with that, we'll be together.
Just jump in a car and
they
fly
jump
off?
In a car and it fucking flies away. Right? So, but it's a musical. It's a show, whatever, okay? Because does that mean they died? No, it doesn't mean they died. No, it means they're just like into the stratosphere. As far as I'm concerned,
it's like Cats grease.
I think. Fuck off! No Cats music is endurance of the ages, right? Yes. So anyway, look, Grease, I've always loved it.
Well, it's true that not many weddings have a Cats song on there.
That's true.
No, Cats Megamix.
It was school socials, man. It was fucking school socials that you heard that fucking Grease Megamix. That's why you hate it, motherfucker. I'm just saying. Anyway, there you are. Grease is the word.
Terrible film. Thank God my number seven is an absolute wonderful film, which we all will agree on, except Dean from the Movie Journey podcast, who inexplicably hates this movie. 1976's Best Picture winner again, John G. Avildsen's Sylvester Stallone written Rocky.
Rocky. I only saw... By the way, that was perfect. Rocky...
Just like my Knight Rider.
I think I saw Rocky 2, and then I saw Rocky 3, and then I saw Rocky.
Have you never seen Rocky?
No, I did, but I only eventually saw it. And I remember that you had told me, or someone had told me, he loses at the end.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't win, right? And I was like,
well, spoilers for a film that's 44 years old.
I'm sure y'all knew or don't care. So then when I saw it, I was like, oh, really? Then I went back to watch it and say, well, it must have been a huge moment. And it wasn't a huge moment. It was just kind of this, and the winner is, and you hear off the background, and it's like, Adrian! And then it's like, Apollo Creed! And then it just goes, yay! And then it comes back to him. So it's not treated like this big loss thing. So that's maybe why I didn't.
Well, because he won by going the distance.
Exactly. Which is a great writing choice.
It's how far you can get punched. Getting up.
That was not Rocky 5.
No, Bob, Rocky Balboa, I think, number 6.
Where he's talking to Sage Stallone, who's actually his son, but he's playing his son.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Rocky 5. No, it was when
he's talking to Milo Vertin, whatever his name is.
Ventimiglia. Oh, was it that one?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, it's the hero's son that he had. Got it.
But anyway, this film.
Anyway, sorry.
Great underdog story, great working class man. Forced his way up. Great story behind the film as well, that he wouldn't sell the rights. He wouldn't take the $200,000.
That's a great story.
In 1975 to do this, and he stuck to his guns and became a, you know, at least through the 80s, a superstar as a result of it. And even today, obviously, his name commands gravitas. Sylvester Stallone being...
You know, he went to school for to write scripts and direct and shit like that? Yeah, he'd actually... You'd think that he was just... It seems like he scrapped his way up. But he fucking hard. He
I mean,
tried.
compared to some of these action heroes who we regularly shit on, Steven Seagal. Sylvester Stallone is so many leagues above. It's not funny.
He's still turning up in Marvel movies and shit. He's fucking fine.
But the story goes that he was very full of himself for a long period of
time. I don't think you get here without being that guy. Honestly, it's unfortunate, but I've never met a guy who is the best ever who's like not a bit
Arnold
of a
might have something to say about being the best ever.
Arnold is the biggest guy like that ever.
No, but I'm saying Arnold, if you want to say Sylvester Stallone's the best at what he did, no, I think Arnold was better. We've settled this on a previous podcast. Okay, how many Rocky Academy Awards?
But Rocky's still been like Sly has still been famous literally since the age of whatever, you know, for 40 years, right? You know? So yeah, I'm just saying, like, I think it wouldn't surprise me.
Great film, wonderful soundtrack. It is a little slow in places, but it's the 70s. 70s films were slow. If you don't get that at all from this, and very few of them are very fast paced and certainly I would almost argue none on my list are fast paced.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Nice one. By the way, have you seen The Italian Stallion, the Sly Stallone porn movie?
Nope.
I have. There's a reason it wasn't released.
Surprises me not. All right, moving on to your number 6.
My number 6 is a goddamn James Bond film, and it's Live and Let Die.
Really?
Yeah, motherfucker. This is a Roger Moore James Bond film. Now, let me tell you about Roger Moore's James Bond, okay? You look at Daniel Craig now, and then you look at Roger Moore, and you think to yourself, why the fuck would anyone watch Roger Moore being James Bond? His foppish, oh, I say, money, penny, days, that shit. I don't know why, but it was great. I actually bought every minute of it. This is the movie where they did that sweet fucking jump. Like, there was a a car jump, and it was going over a bridge that had fallen out, but the bridge was like twisted, and so the car did this barrel roll in the air before landing. Fucking amazing, right? And they tried it lots of times. It was King Dick.
Are you honestly saying that of all the films of the 70s, this James Bond film, which
I love,
I guess James Bond enthusiasts will talk about, but I don't think came up in anybody's feedback.
I unlike Paul, who panders every week, I don't listen to your feedback and try and make a decision based on what's popular there. I'm just thinking purely from my head. So yes, this is one of the movies that I remember from the 70s, man. Look, yes, I adored James Bond, but this is actually, I still think, a good movie, and I still like it now. So, one guy talking.
Hot damn.
Roger Moore was my favorite Bond until Pierce Brosnan came along, until Daniel Craig came along.
Right.
So, there you
go. So, he's your third favorite Bond.
I could have said that, yes.
All right, my number six might get me some heat for being low, but I had
Please,
to be honest.
Please, I'm going
to
unfuck this whole thing. Go on.
I had to be honest about it. My number six is Star Wars, A New Hope.
Oh, well, let me tell you this. Okay, first of all, it's on my list, and yes, it's up higher.
Yeah.
But there was a draft of this list where it wasn't on there. Right? Okay. And I was like, why? Because here's the thing. Compared to Empire, Star Wars is not great.
No, it's not, but we're talking about...
It started the whole thing, which is still going. So you've got to give it some respect. So yes, it's on my list. Yes, it's higher up. Please, go on.
For the reason you just said, we have now been running for 40 years plus, 43 years, Star Wars fan-fueled frenzies.
Insane.
Now the Skywalker saga is over. Everyone is hotly anticipating Mandalorian Season 2. Everyone's wondering whether will Rian Johnson create a Star Wars film or not? Will Taika Waititi do it? What's next? And they're not really announcing anything along those lines, but we know the Mandalorian's coming. So it still resonates today. That's three generations of people totally into this. You could see, not that I looked around and saw this, but I imagine a grandfather or grandparent, parent and child all at the cinema together to see any of the last three films.
You could see yourself being the grandparent, because I think it's going to keep going.
It could well do.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
and what other property other than James Bond
agreed
has spanned that length of time?
And I would say, like, as much as I love James Bond, the Star Wars thing, I remember talking to my cousin Mike T like about motherfucking 10 years ago, and we were talking for 2 hours about Star Wars, right? And because fucking, you know, whatever. And then we actually realized, we had a moment where we realized we were talking about it for hours, and he said, I fucking love talking about Star Wars, man. I'm like, fucking Star I, man, because there's so much lore that you could talk about with the lightsabers, man. That's Star Wars, man. Who thought of that shit? Everyone wants a lightsaber. So yes, it was huge. And
whatever lightning in a bottle they captured, George Lucas got help from his wife in terms of the edit and the rewrites and all that kind of stuff. But whatever else he is, he's a savvy businessman, because he
corners the market on the toys.
Toys, man.
So and everyone's whatever. Like, take the toys. And boom, off it goes. That motherfucker
is on. And
sold
it to Disney however many billions.
Dude, he's on, man. He's on. That motherfucker has owned. He's been in the zone for fucking 40 years.
Yeah. Right? And hate the prequels as much as I do. It doesn't take away from how great and mood/mind-capturing Star Wars is.
You know what I like about... okay, and I know that you call me a sequels apologist, right? But what
sequels
I,
or prequels?
Prequels, sorry. Prequels are colonists, right? Now that the sequels, like the last three movies we got, right? I liked Phantom Menace. I liked the second one. I hated the last one, right? Now, the thing about the prequels that makes me somehow oddly satisfied or happy was at least it was George's idea. At least it was, he said, no, these are the ones I wanted to make. Yes, we didn't like them and most people didn't like them, but at least that's the thing. You can tell with these last three that someone fucked it up. That they didn't have a cohesive plan.
No,
it was just
no question.
So, you know, I would rather George went this way just so I could know. Even if it sucked again, we wouldn't lose anything. So there you go.
Well.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my number six. Nice I guess one. We'll see how high it goes for you.
Nice one. You're going to spew at my number five. It's Alien.
That's exactly where my number five is.
Oh, shit. I thought you put this right up someone's ass. Really?
It's five and five.
Damn! Alien! Well, let me tell you this, folks. I saw Aliens before I saw Alien. Right?
Okay.
Because
I think a lot of people probably fall in that category.
Well, I only went to the cinema to watch Aliens because my friends were all like, I gotta see that movie, man. And it was off the chain, right?
I wish I had seen that. I have seen it subsequently several times at the cinema, but not on its
initial release. I actually remember me
having... I wouldn't have been allowed to at 11, 12, 11.
Is that when it came out?
86 or 87. I keep forgetting the two. But yeah,
I think I went. Mm-hmm. I went. But all I remember is the pulse rifle. Like, that sound. I can't do it, but yeah.
I won't try.
No, that's fine. I thought you'd have a sound in there, but anyway. That was the coolest thing ever. This just, the, and also the, what was the APC?
Yep.
It was all made of steel. The fucking wheels were made of steel by the looks of things. Fucking cool, man. So anyway.
Was the second one. What about the first one?
Sorry. Well, when I saw the first one, sorry about that. I thought we were talking about aliens for a second.
The best 70s countdown ever. Spent exactly 6.9% of the time talking about films from the 70s.
I will say this for you. All right. So Alien, right, was very somber and just this moody thing. And I didn't realize until years later that it was a horror movie.
Yeah.
When you told me.
It's a horror movie in space. It's a haunted house film in space.
But now Aliens is not that, is
No,
it?
Aliens is a action war
film in space. So that's why when I watched Aliens, I was confused. I was like, this is like moody and bling, 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 sort of to me. And like, that, you know how the 70s
are
that.
We said very slow pace. The first half of this film is all about building the atmosphere. Slowly bringing you up to the point where shit happens, i.e. a chestburster comes jumping out of John Hurt's chest.
The thing is, I didn't know it was a horror when I was watching it, and I didn't know until like recently when you told me. So for me, the movie, it's the chestburster is the thing, all right? And I used to have this graphic novel, which was like from the movie and stuff, which I always dug. But yeah, Alien, big fan.
Ridley Scott at his absolute best, you know, that sort of his background as this art set sort of director, really coming to the fore. So moody, so amazing, so atmospheric. Yeah, that's why it's my number five.
Yeah.
And created Ripley, one of the greatest characters in modern day cinema.
Yeah, I'm glad she changed her hair.
Look, I don't think we're going to get into the aesthetics of the 70s being pleasing.
Oh, look, forget about that.
Yeah. All right, your number four.
My number four is The Sting.
Oh, that's
where
the
how
Sting
high I went. Yeah,
okay,
I dug that
shit.
That
is very high. My number four is, I'm going to make you an offer, Wayne. You can't refuse.
Okay.
Godfather.
It ain't on my list.
Oh!
I know, I told you. Look, I only caught up with The Godfather like fucking like a couple years ago when this show made me watch it. And I was like, oh, I watched it like a person watches an old movie now. It was good, but I've seen better. So
yeah, I know. I think you hadn't seen it until we made you watch it for
the
show.
That's right. And look, it's great and everything. I just wasn't there with you when you all
had no Force 10 from Navarone, ladies and
gentlemen. I know who I am.
Godfather, the gangster film, the crime epic, which has pretty much had its DNA infused through all other gangster films made subsequently, at least ones that are half successful.
That's right. You attack me, then I attack you.
Francis Ford Coppola, Marlon Brando, you know, probably his last great role, I think. Unless you count.
I think we're forgetting about
The Island of Dr. Moreau. I like that we both went there.
That's the biggest piece of shit ever. Okay.
Yeah, and even then, apparently, it was a bit of a nightmare to work on this set and Apocalypse Now after this. But anyway, Francis Ford Coppola obviously knew talent where he saw it because he kept him on. Yeah, the rise of Al Pacino begins here, at least for me.
Totally. You know what the best thing about this movie? When Al Pacino kills that policeman,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you see on his face, I don't know, what I remember thinking to myself, so he's never killed anyone before, and... That is amazing.
Somebody gets a gun from behind the toilet.
Was the policeman that he killed? Yeah, I think so. But you could just see his face. Like, it was really good performances for back then. For me to notice that back then as well, that's pretty big.
Yeah. So there you go. That's why it's here at my number four.
Yeah. Nice one. My number three is, I'm sorry, people, but I remember laughing at this movie.
Oh,
and it's a big, it's Blazing Saddles, okay? Look. Before, it was a different time. People made things that...
Bitch, please.
I'm telling you. Yes, it doesn't hold up. We are in a different world now, and you cannot make any of the jokes pretty much that this thing made now. Having said that, it is part of cinematic history, and I remember the world being the way it was back then, where it was okay to laugh at this shit. And I remember everyone, rooms and rooms of people laughing at this shit.
Where is your honor, dirtbag?
Fuck
you
off!
You are an absolute disgrace.
Kids used to talk about it in school. We used to drop shit and quotes to each other. And
wow.
It's the farting, the bean farting scene. I had never seen anything like that before. All right? It's not just about the, you know, the stuff, but it's like everything that came out of this movie, him punching horses or whatever, it was all amazing to me. I'd never seen anything like it. And it seemed like something my grandparents would have watched and laughed at. Turns out they didn't. I was not big in Asia. But yes, and I laughed at other shit too. I laughed at fucking Spaceballs. I know it's not the same, but it's not the same.
Also, not the 70s?
No, but like the Mel Brooks thing, he changed with the times too. Fuck you! Blazing Saddles is still considered a thing, all right? Yeah, I ain't like Paul,
fuck
okay?
Fuck me.
I ain't like Paul. All right. And like him, okay? I thought something was funny, and I remember how I found it funny again. I don't know that I would watch it again now and have the same moment. I don't think I would.
Shouldn't these films stand the test of time? Shouldn't you be like, that's an amazing movie. I could watch it now.
Well, maybe if you're a robot, 10. Paul, but maybe you remember the joy you had at the time. Remember, you remember the person you were and the way the world was back then. And maybe it's nostalgic for you without being political. How about that? Maybe that's a thing. That's well, right, bitch.
From Blazing Saddles to The Godfather you. Part 2.
I take chances, and maybe sometimes it's entertaining.
Another Academy Award winning film. I can almost not talk about this seriously.
Oh, go ahead.
We have
bitch.
Had Blazing Saddles sandwiched between the two Godfather films in one, terms of discussion.
I don't see one problem with that at all. Wait, did you put the six?
Well, I didn't put them together because I'd be accused of cheating, so I put them where I thought they...
Wait, what's so this? Your number three is...
Godfather Part 2.
Oh, eat my balls.
I will let you at home, eat all the balls. Ladies and gentlemen, decide who should be eating the balls.
Eat the balls.
Based on their list thus far.
I knew we would go this way. Okay.
Godfather Part 2. We get to see the rise of Vito Corleone. Corleone.
Yeah. Well done.
I'll add the E on the end because he's that good. He deserves another syllable.
Sure it does.
Robert De Niro playing the young version thereof. And of course, they never really meet or never act together. But Al Pacino playing now in modern times and all the shit that has to go down there and how this story develops in a heartbreaking fashion, depending on how you view it.
Does everyone consider this the best one?
Not everyone. I think a lot of people prefer the first Godfather. You know, I think everyone respects whichever side of the argument you're on.
Yeah.
They're both great. And then there is that very small pocket of no one who thinks Godfather Part 3 is the best.
Yeah, fair enough. I get that.
Al Pacino, from strength to strength, and here is where he now becomes the powerhouse actor that he was for the next 15, 20 years, arguably.
Yeah. Sure. I was thinking about Serpico for this list, but then he got scrubbed off pretty quick. But I remember liking that movie, too.
Yeah, so. Dog Day Afternoon in the 70s as well. I mean, I think...
Oh, I saw that one.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Is it the shit?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
okay. It's good. It's very different.
Cool.
I mean, sort of. It's not doesn't go the way you would expect.
Oh, okay.
In certain regards.
Cool.
Okay, so that's my three. Godfather Part 2. What is Wayne going to regale us with his number 2? Because I guarantee you, my 1 and 2 are not on Wayne's list. So here we go. Well, maybe 1 could be.
You know, this is where I put Star Wars.
Oh, yeah,
for the reasons I talked. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. So.
All right. No problem with Star Wars obviously being there. Totally understand it. And that'll probably get you some votes back. You just lost with Blazing Saddles.
I don't think I'm going to get any votes. And it's okay, guys. It's okay.
We'll get some.
I'm just authentic. That's all.
Oh, this is great that Wayne's so... Wayne's behind. We're going to vote for him. That comes up. Don't trust me. My number 2 is arguably one of the greatest. It is one of the greatest horror films ever made. It's a film which spawned virtually, if you take out Black Christmas from the equation, a subgenre all of its own, the slasher series. It's John Carpenter's Halloween. Amazing film.
Yeah, I saw this.
Did I get you to watch it at
some
point?
Yeah, you did, fuckhead. Yep. So
with a one-shot start to die for in 1978, an independent little film which took the world by storm. And like I said, create Friday the 13th follows all these other films which tried to emulate it. It's still, and you want to talk about films that have endured for 4 decades, we've got Halloween Kills maybe coming out in October.
Yeah.
The series is still fucking going.
That's true. Well, so I've been told it took a few deviated parts.
Oh, yeah. Halloween 3, well. Ooh, Season of the Witch.
Yeah. Okay.
Not my cup of tea.
Right.
But it has.
Are they always Craven?
No. John Carpenter. John Carpenter never directed another one after the first one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
He helped. I can't remember if he produced definitely the second one, and I think he's produced a lot of them, but he didn't have his DNA all over it. He didn't write. Maybe he wrote number 2. Co-wrote it, but yeah.
You know that Mike Myers standing next to the rose bush in the daylight in the path? That,
the music.
Yeah.
Amazing. And Michael Myers as this entity, terrifying. He's not so over the top. But theoretically, it's one of those things which could happen. You know, silent stalking killer who just goes mental and just starts stabbing people. It's pretty frightening at that level too. So that's why it's my number 2.
Yeah, I knew they'd be on you. This is your jam. Okay, cool.
There'll be no prizes for guessing my number 1. But I wonder if there'll be a prize for guessing Wayne's number 1. Give us your recap then, Wayne.
Okay.
And let's reveal. And I will get the soundboard ready because this is going to be a doozy.
My number 10 is Force 10 from Neverone. Number 9, Watership Down. 8 was Kramer versus Kramer. 7, Grease. Yeah. 6, Live and Let Die. 5, Alien. 4, The Sting. 3, Blazing Saddles. 4, 2, Star Wars. And number 1 is Superman. Yeah, wow. Richard Donner's Superman, 1978, and I had never seen any of my beloved DC characters on the screen before. And I saw this one, I think I would have been 4 or 5 by the time I saw it. So seeing Christopher Reeve actually is a real Superman, and he looked so much like Superman to me with the spit curl and the whatever. It, by the way, because it was like this 70s movie, it was still overly harsh. Like things that happened in it were actually unusual. And like, speak about your Marlon Brando. There's where he's busting this shit out. And this is the first recordedness of, you know, a superhero film traditionally for kids, but they get a serious actor in. Mm-hmm. This is where that started.
Yeah, it broke the mold.
You know, and so it's like, oh shit, look at that. And he's, I always think of the kind of the magic of like the idea that a superhero is real from this movie. That's where it all started. So that's what I say. And by the way, apparently Marlon Brando was a prick.
Yeah. Through all these films, Apocalypse Now, Superman, I think I remember hearing stories that even by Godfather, he was like hard to work with.
He demanded like $14 million and shit, and people were like, what the fuck? And then he actually sued them and all kinds of shit happened. But it was his idea to have Jor-El put the S symbol on his clothes and make that the family logo, which I think is actually cool. So, you know, hey, what are you going to do?
All right, well, a little surprised, but at least I understand that one. At least that one, unlike Blazing Saddles, has some merit behind it.
So really, just so I can get this out of my system here, is it not okay to like an old movie that has now what we consider racist?
Well, I'm not even taking that one. It's like, that is the 10 best films.
Dude, Jason, Blazing Saddles is fucking... is cinema history, if you ask me.
Maybe people will agree.
I don't think they will, but it's okay.
Agree. My number one, it's... Yeah, go on. I guess your number one wasn't on my list. Oh, I like Superman. I like it very much.
You want to do 10 to 1 or...?
I will do that. But yeah, my number one is a film, without revealing it just a second, that you will not be surprised by.
Okay.
But to get there first, here's what I've already spoken about. 10, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. 9, The Sting. 8, The Poseidon Adventure. 7, Rocky. 6, Star Wars, A New Hope. 5, Alien. 4, The Godfather. 3, The Godfather Part 2.
Uh-huh.
And number 2, Halloween. And my number 1 is undoubtedly for me my favorite film of the 70s. One of my favorite films of all time. It is Jaws.
Yeah, not on my list.
No, well, really? But I thought number 0 was good.
Yeah, okay, fuck you. I knew this would be on your list. Now that I think about it, because it was on an early draft of mine, and it is obviously my HMs. I didn't have the same connection to it like you because I only saw it recently. Yeah.
What?
Well, you know, for the show. I saw it for the show.
Really? I don't remember that.
I think I had seen it and didn't remember anything and then watched it kind of for the first time with this show. But yeah, yeah. I was scared of the t-shirt that my dad wore with Jaws with the big shark underneath the girl swimming.
Yeah, the poster is incredible.
I'm scared the shit out of me.
The poster is iconic. The score is iconic. Now I have to make a decision which one we roll with.
Go with Jaws.
Okay. Steven Spielberg's first big blockbuster, and it wasn't meant to be. It created the summer blockbuster. It was after this film where people were lining up around the block that we started to get summer tentpole films.
Right. This was the start.
It's a game changer at that particular level. But the film itself is just this great character study. First of all, builds these three gentlemen up going out to risk their lives to kill this shark that's killing people on this tourist beach. But the shark itself, which didn't work, as you know, is famously known, so they had to keep it sort of hidden, just adds to it through that whole film. The tension is unbearable in certain places. Yet it's also this frolicky kind of adventure, and the music kind of changes
to
reflect
that.
That's
what surprised me when I watched it. I'm like, there's actually lightness here. Yeah. It's like Steven Spielberg, like, bling, bling, bling. Like, you know, just little notes that he's sprinkling through there.
But it's a perfect mix. Like, we talk sometimes, I in particular talk about how genres don't mash well or mesh well together in a particular film.
Yeah.
But here, it just works. So... Mm. When it's light and they're bonding, it's great. But when they're either under threat and the shark is a real presence, now it's scary.
Let me ask you, of the three characters, who is your favorite?
Look, in terms of watching him on screen... it's Robert Shaw's Quint.
Really?
Yeah.
Fucking Richard Dreyfuss all the way for me.
Quint is all the way. So salty, salt of the earth, such a cunt.
Yeah, because he's a cunt, isn't it?
I love him. I wouldn't want to hang out with him. Like, who would I go and have a beer with? Yeah, Richard Dreyfuss is Hooper.
Did we talk about that they actually made the movie of Clint actually being in the water with all the people?
Yeah, with Nicolas Cage in it.
What was it called?
USS in Indianapolis.
They should have
told Oh, no, it's
that.
Called Men of Courage.
Or oh, yeah,
of,
yeah.
No.
No, Men of Honor was the Robert De Niro one.
Yeah, I'm mixing them up. But yeah, it was out. I watched it. I have since found it and watched it. It's terrible.
Is it shit?
It's everything you think it's going to be. Like a low budget version thereof. It didn't get the money it needed to be made into a great film.
Oh, okay. All right.
But yeah. Roy Scheider, again, all of them are iconic in this role. Mm. Apparently, Robert Shaw was drunk through most of the shoot.
It looks like it. It does look like
it. And it works perfectly.
Yeah, I know.
And apparently him and Richard Dreyfuss didn't like each other, and that plays perfectly.
Ah.
So all these things just came together.
How could you not like Richard Dreyfuss?
Jaws, man. Jaws is just a phenomenal film and my absolute favorite film of the 70s.
Fair cop.
That's our list then. Let's give some honorable mentions, Wayne, and then get on into our expanded slash recount slash pop 10, whatever I'm going to play. I'm not sure which one it is.
Okay. How about All the President's Men, Willy Wonka, yeah. Apocalypse Now, MASH, the Robert Altman film. Okay, yep. It's actually quite funny. And The Black Stallion.
Black Stallion. Okay.
I really like that movie. Drive-in movie when I was a kid.
I just had Superman.
Yeah.
And Dawn of the Dead. That's all I had on my
own. Oh, yeah. I was sure that would be on there.
Look, it could easily have been, but you watch that movie now, or even when I first watched it, I liked it a lot, but God, it's slow. It has some phenomenal set pieces and some great moments in that film. And the first half an hour is phenomenal, but then it takes a long, long time. And maybe it doesn't help that I watch whatever cut that's 2.5 hours long. And that's the one that I own on DVD, imported DVD, but yeah.
Okay.
So I like it a lot.
Trailblazer just not.
It's probably my number 11. Superman would be my number 12. So
yeah. Nice. All right, cool.
That's our list. What about yours? Let's get into those. And indeed, feedback on the show in general in the newly, maybe just for this week, we'll find out soon, recount pop 10.
Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount?
I think I like this one better than Pop 10. Why don't we just keep this one?
Okay, well, it's certainly got... Well, now we fixed up some sound problems we were having. It's certainly got more of a beat to it.
Yeah, let's do this one.
That is for sure. All right, let's kick off then with your feedback on the topic at hand for this week's recount. Yeah, again, sorry for the regular listeners that we've thrown for a loop. Starting with Mark O'Ha in the Facebook listener community. He said, choosing three from this whole decade needs to be reported to the United Nations for crimes against humanity.
As he needed a fan, very good.
Way more than that. So I'm just going to give his three from the first 3 years. 1970 is Le Cirque Le Rouge.
This dude is a total cinephile. Yep. That's why it's rolling.
Well, 1971, Dirty Harry.
That's something cinephiles do.
And 1972, The Godfather.
That's definitely a cinephile thing. Very nice. I'm glad classy people are listening to us.
Maybe not after this week. We'll find out. Chris Sutherland, good friend to the show, said Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars.
Yep.
And A Clockwork Orange and Jaws.
I've never seen A Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, I like Clockwork Orange, but I didn't love it the way I love these films on my list. But yeah, very good choices there. Hendo Henderson from the Movie Journey podcast had number 3, The Godfather. Number 2, The Godfather Part 2.
There you go.
And number 1, A Clockwork Orange. Okay. Again.
I was wondering if he's just going to go Godfather 3 and fuck with us, but yeah. Nice one.
No, people take it more seriously than we do. Right? Jonathan Kidd had number 3, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So many amazing performances and a message that still needs sending out about stigma/treatment in mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Very good point. Number 2, Rocky Horror Picture Show. My head says pick something more highbrow, but this is probably my most rewatched film from the decade.
Wow.
And number 1, The Godfather. There was no way around this masterpiece. ... Unless you're Wayne.
Yeah. Yeah. I told you, people know what the problem is.
Joe DiCarlo from the So Wizard podcast. Check out them. Great show. Number 3, Rocky Horror Picture Show. Number 2, Alien. And number 1, Dawn of the Dead.
Mm.
And he said, leaving out the obvious number 1, Star Wars.
Yeah.
Johnny Davidson said, number 3, Star Wars. 4, A New Hope. Number 2, The Sting. And number 1, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. There can be no other number 1, Wayne. The film is still laugh out loud hilarious and unbelievably quotable.
I'm guessing, but you may have his vote this week. Just a guess.
Jake Humphrey had The Wicker Man, the original. Number 3, number 2, Halloween. Number 1, The Exorcist. The Exorcist, yeah, good call.
I think I've seen The Exorcist and I think my brain blocked it out because I was scared like a bitch.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Blake Jarvis, number 3, Taxi Driver. Number 2, Star Wars. Number 1, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
I'm surprised Taxi Driver didn't turn up on any of our lists.
I watched it once and it didn't blow me away.
No,
away
it's hard to watch
some of the other
kid stuff.
Scorsese fucking, stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. Over to Mina Harker, and I'm going full Wayne with my picks. Number 3, Slapshot.
Nice one.
Number 2, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Yeah. Number 1, The Sting from the both.
There
of
you
us.
Go. A bit of that going on.
David Power, good friend, high level patron of the show, and moderates the Facebook listening community for us as well. Thank you, David. Said, I'm going to keep it to 3 because I don't want Paul to get cranky. Thank you. Thank you, sir. But I'm doing a best 3 and a favorite 3. There's not a damn thing you can do about it. Best, Chinatown, The Exorcist, Badlands is his best film from the 70s. Favorites, Rocky Horror Picture Show, The Warriors, and The Sting.
Nice. All in.
Movie Chatter Podcast had Jaws, Alien, and Smokey and the Bandit. First mention.
Oh, man! I forgot to say that. Smokey was one of my actual favorites as well.
Why didn't you put that in your list?
Because I forgot to write it down. Because it jockeyed out and got bullied out by Kramer versus Kramer.
Didn't get bullied out by Blazing Saddles?
No, it did not. Okay. That was well ahead of the game, my friend.
Stephen from Super Retro Throwback had Alien, Jaws, and Poseidon Adventure.
Uh-huh.
Dan is not the problem. This week is not the problem because he had number 3 Aliens, number 2 The Warriors. Come out and play.
What's the Warriors?
Warriors is when that group of... It's a gang warfare film where they all come together and someone's murdered someone and they think it's... They pin it on the Warriors and all the other gangs are hunting them as they try to escape from, I think it's New York.
Who was in it? All the dudes?
I don't know.
Sorry.
Don't ask me the top of my head.
Sorry,
and number 1, Jaws. So, yeah. And we're going to need a bigger boat to fit all the awesome 70s films. He is quite correct. Super listener Chad, Star Wars, number 1, Monty Python, number 2, and the Holy Grail, that is. And number 3, Animal House.
Yeah, not bad. That's actually a darker movie than you remember. Lots of bad shit happened.
I don't know if I've seen Animal House.
I have an odd relationship with it.
Okay. Sam from the Movie Reviews and 20 Qs podcast, the best, and he got very upset about having to knock it down to just 3 because it's sadistic. He suggested having to do so.
Wow.
Godfather Part 2, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and Paper Moon.
I just realized how much... I'm going to lose this one. All these people with these classics out there, and I'm like, ugh.
Blazing Saddles. It's all right, you'll get Julio's version released because you've owned it.
I'm fine with it.
John from the Pine Comics podcast, Jaws, the greatest film ever. Alien, the second greatest film ever. And Rocky cemented Stallone's career, early pioneer of franchise films. Oh, and won Best Picture. Anth P, my best movie of all time, The Godfather and Godfather 2. They're one movie I sit down and watch it back to back. Cannot split the two of them. Last couple then, One Shot had 3 The Warriors, 2 Blazing Saddles, Wayne!
All right, what up, dog?
And number 1, All the President's Men, also on your honorable mentions.
Nice!
Jennifer Manson said, this is the year a few of part of my teenage years. A Star is Born, The Sting, and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest were her
brilliant
3. Last one then, David, the producer from the Behind the Rant podcast. I would have to say the top 3 are Godfather, 1, American Graffiti, and Chinatown. Though he had to add in with a nod to The Sting.
Chinatown. I remember sort of liking that one, but I can't remember what happened.
It's very good. Watched it last year as well. Yeah. Well worth your time. Look, the only other thing we need to do to wrap up this week's newly christened recount is to give the results of last week's show, where I'm now in the votes leading 7-5, all the polls each week.
Mm-hmm.
And last week's list was the top 10 time travel movies. How did we go? Well, it was another comfortable victory. This time to you, Wayne.
Ah, that's nice.
42 votes to my 25. So not a shellacking, but a comfortable victory. And I was never really in the hunt. Jonathan Kidd said, I don't really want to get any of you credit because you have lists that have Donnie Darko and Army Darkness, but I will vote Wayne just to keep things close. God damn it, Jonathan.
I like how you picked those. I was like, here are your pity votes, fuckface.
Stephen Croon said, loved Wayne's arrival and predestination picks, but Philly should travel back in time to add T2 to his list. Had you put T2 on there, you probably would have kept me below 10 votes, I reckon. David Power said, Donnie Darko, arrival, predestination. It's like Wayne forcibly inserted himself into my brain this week, and he didn't even buy me dinner or bring lube.
I'm a breacher.
Adam Allure gave me a vote for trying to keep my cool when you had no T2 on your list, which is pretty funny. Daniel Lowe had you for About Time. What a pick. A lot of people said your About Time pick. A lot of people said your Arrival pick.
I had no idea.
And a subsection of people said your Predestination pick. I think that's what got you over the line.
I'm going to need it for this week.
And Mitch Ray said, even though I didn't get in the pop 10 on this episode, I'll still nod to Paul for T2 and Austin Powers being an honorable mention.
Boom.
Thank you, Mitch. Wasn't good enough, though. Wayne easily in a canter. That makes it 7-6 on the year. Let's see who takes it out next week. That's it for our show today. Wayne, how do listeners get back to us and let us know their feedback on the topic at hand or indeed the show in general?
Google The Countdown Podcast. You'll find us or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at TheCountdownPC. You can follow the show on Podbean, like individual episodes and leave comments there, as Mary has done a few times in the last week. Thank you, Mary, for doing that. And indeed, Facebook listener community, links in the show notes. And check out ccradio.com.au for some other great Aussie podcast that we're part of the network with. All right, Wayne, what's happening next week for episode 271 of The Countdown?
What did we say again? Bitch, please.
It did make me laugh, the look on your face of flared panic.
No, it was. I was trying to cover it with like fake smugness so you go like, hey, maybe he's got it. And then he didn't. So good to see that kind of act.
Next week, we're doing the top 10 underdog movies.
Ah, that's right. Yeah.
Movies where the underdog triumphs or falls, comes very close.
Or features a big-ass underdog theme. Underdog. Underdog theme. And you know, sometimes those movies are very underdoggy.
Who would think the pool boy would score so much ass? Shit.
Okay.
All right. Well, that is it then. That's what we're doing next week. Thank you so much for joining us today for episode 207. We hope you've enjoyed the slightly tweaked format. You can let us know whether that works or not.
And with that, we are out of here. My name is Wayne.
My name is Paul. And of course, when we talk 70s, there's only one way we can get out the soundboard.
I don't understand.
Yeah! It's for every one of us!
Right.
That's for every one of us!
Suck it.
See you next time.